Blog Talk Radio.
There will be days that just go wrong, make you wanna holler and shout, your hands up in the air, wondering what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And you think that things can't get much worse in a second. Oh, everything just goes south. Keep on keeping on. Whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. Take it one day at a time. God's grace is gonna be fine. You got what it takes down inside. Road ain't alone. Keep on keeping on. Stand in your way.
They're always saying,
always saying what you cannot do. Don't stop chasing your dreams and working hard to make them come true. Oh. And if it ever gets too tough, just remember you'll fail. Don't kill you, make you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. Take it one day at a time. With God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down inside. The road ain't alone. Keep on keeping on. Keeping on, whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. I'll give you one better time. With God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down inside.
Radio. This is our Parental Sovereignty Radio Show. We're going to have a great show tonight. We've got a very special guest coming up. If you're listening to us on Blog Talk Radio right now, we want you to have a good time this evening. We will give you the call-in number. That's 347-205-9620. If you'd like to call in and ask questions of our guest. What a week it's been. Boy, we keep on keeping on. We're entering the week after the primaries here in Texas, and some exciting things going on. You know, we ended up with all of my picks, Connie Burton and Sid Miller, both in runoffs. They won, but they were close enough that there's going to be a runoff, and they're both pretty confident in that. And so we're watching the runoffs get started here in Texas. And, of course, fight, common core, what we do every day before this gets a hold of us. This is Continue for Truth Radio. I'm Scott Osborne. We've got Dan Wilson down in Florida, and we've got Jennifer Montrose down in Alabama. And we've got a great guest tonight, and I'm looking forward to hearing some things going on in Alabama about Common Core and Eubank. And let me tell you, she's the Alabama Legislative Watchdog Chair. And she is going to have some information, some things that have gone on today, especially in Alabama. You've heard me say it over and over again, Alabama rocks. There's a lot of people down in Alabama fighting hard for a lot of things. And Common Core has been on their radar for a while. Jonathan Barbie working hard to do that as well. Alabama actually was writing the book on helping other states help to fight Common Core. So I'm going to pass it to Jennifer Montrose. And Jennifer, I'm going to let you go ahead and introduce our special guest. And this evening, Jennifer, take it away.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Scott. You know, I want to say, if there was ever a patriot out there that's really, really out there with the eyes and ears to make a difference, you know, to hold the legislative feet to the fire, it's Ann Eubanks. I mean, you know, we got a lot of people behind the scenes doing a lot of good stuff. You know, we've got other people across the United States doing various of the similar things, and you don't see them in the forefront. It's people like Ann that are making a difference. You know, it's not just getting the candidate elected, but it's once they get into office and, you know, doing your due diligence to see that they're actually going to carry through what they said they were going to when they were running for office. It's, you know, Mary Scott Hunter came out, said she was for, you know, for the repeal of Common Core, that, you know, we didn't need it in the state of Alabama. As soon as she got elected to school board, totally changed her team. You know, we have a lot of candidates that tend to do that. They give you a really wonderful song and dance while they're out there on the campaign trail. You know, and the minute that they get into office, you know, they're like a John McCain and they turn on you. You know, the problem is not about Republican versus Democrat. The problem we have is that we have a constitution that was written by some people that really cared about this nation. And we have people on both sides of the aisle, you know, that are doing everything they can to rip it apart. You know, and it's people like Ann Eubanks, who was taking a stance, going to great lengths to fight. You know, and it's not just the issue of Common Core. There's so many other things. I mean, we're at risk right now with the immigration issue, with the Second Amendment issues that we're dealing with our freedoms being taken out from underneath us, right before our eyes, and people are too busy paying attention to what he's becoming the, you know, number one contestant on American Idol. So, you know, I my hat's off to Ann for all that she does. She's in Montgomery right now, Montgomery, Alabama. She can tell us a little bit about what's been going on. I know she's not only been keeping up with what's going on just in the state, but across the nation. You know, she and several others, Lisa Harris and Dan Green, many others that are out there fighting the good fight. You know, and but we know that this can get really dirty. People are not – so some of these people that are on the other side of the aisle from those of us trying to save the Constitution, they're more interested in power and money. You know, and we see from World War II what that got us. You know, we've already been through this before, and people woke up when they finally, you know, depleted the concentration camps and people got the chance to go in and walk in and see what was really going on, and they realized that the media propaganda once again had fooled them. And they're screaming, why? What happened? Why did they lie to us? And, you know, we have a lot of savvy social media out there. People believe whatever, and we've got a lot of people that have been hoodwinked. And I'm grateful to call Ann a friend, a patriot, you know, and she stands right there with me and some of the other patriots that have gone on before us, like Frederick Douglass and Ronald Reagan and, you know, many of the others that are out there doing their thing. So with that, Ann Eubanks, Yes. Thank you for all that you're doing, and I want to give you the floor.
Wow. Thank you, Jennifer. You humble me. You're making me blush over here. And it just so happens that I'm with Zan Green in Montgomery, and Zan has moved down south. She left us in the central Alabama, the Rainy Day Patriots, Shelby and Jefferson. And she's here with me tonight, too, and maybe we can get her to answer a few questions. But I have to tell you, this fight against Common Core is ramping up, and I don't understand why a state like Alabama is having so much trouble with its legislators in order to get it repealed. I was in the State House today for Scott Deason's compromise or different bill than from the full repeal, and we had our public hearing today, and the vote is tomorrow to come to bring it out of committee. And we had 14, 15 people speak on our side and 14, 15 on the other side, and it's a divide that will not be overcome. The educators, Dr. Bice, the Alabama State School employees, and all but two Alabama State Board members are for Common Core. We don't understand why, but they are. Becky Gerritsen spoke today, and we all know Becky Gerritsen from her testimony before Congress about the IRS. She spoke today and actually began reading some passages out of one of our textbooks, the 11th grade literature book, and there were some words that were absolutely filthy, and she said them out loud. And the senators who were in the room stopped her totally, would not let her continue because they didn't want to hear it. Well, she told them real fast, you don't want to hear this filth, but it's okay for our children in the 11th grade to read it and to analyze it, and you think that's okay. So if you haven't had a chance, it's on Facebook out there on rainydaypatriots.org or Alabama Legislative Watchdogs. You need to watch it. It's eye-opening because Becky did not back down. And our senators don't understand what exactly is in our schools in Common Core. So that's just one thing we did. I spoke today about freedom and choice, that Senator Beeson's bill was going to give schools the choice to opt out of Common Core, and the parents and the students the freedom to choose to opt out of the data collection. And the school administrators are absolutely against that. So we continue to fight in Alabama, and hopefully tomorrow morning something will come up. We have a meet on the State House steps at 11 o'clock tomorrow. Everybody in the state of Alabama who is against Common Core to come down, and we're going to divide up into teams, and then we're going to go into the State House. But before we do that, we're going to have the three state school board candidates that are running to replace. Well, one of them is Betty Peters, and she is an incumbent. But the other two, Patricia McGriff and Mike Parsons, are going to come down, and we're going to have a little, it's not really a rally, but a little get-together to introduce those three to the people who come down, because it's important that we get those people elected and replace the school board, because I think that's the only way we're going to get rid of Common Core is if we get rid of the school board. So that was kind of my day in Alabama today, and I get to have more fun tomorrow. So that all over the country, only 9 states out of 45 states that adopted Common Core do not have some form of legislation in the state houses to get out of Common Core. Once they figured out what it was, they don't want it. So, but I can continue on if that's what you want me to do.
Well, you know what, Ann, you said a mouthful there, and I want to say this, and I've said this a zillion times, and I'm going to probably be saying it to my grave. When I found out about Common Core was when I listened to Orlene Kohler be interviewed by my idol, Phyllis Schlafly. And Phyllis Schlafly said this. She said that Common Core would fall the same way that ERA did. And we remember back when ERA was being pushed, there were 23 states that had already signed on. They had already gone a long way into getting the process of making that the law of the land, and it was going to be a very scary thing. And Phyllis Schlafly, man, she did what we did without Facebook, without Twitter, without social media, without computers. She basically helped push the ERA over. And she said we could do the same thing with Common Core. And that was a year ago that I found out about Common Core. In fact, a year ago March. Been fighting it for a year now. At that point, about 5%, Orlene Kohler said that about 5% of America knew what Common Core was. That was before Glenn Beck was on it. That was before a lot of people were fighting against it. It was when we were in small groups. And we've come a long way. And to have all but 9 states have legislation in their state houses working to remove this atrocity from our schools tells me we've come a long, long way. And what I'd like to hear, Ann, you'll talk about it a little bit, and then I'll pass it. I'm sure Dan's got some questions down in Florida. But I'd like to kind of hear your walk as you discovered what Common Core was and as you found out. You know, I will never understand why Mitt Romney didn't use Common Core standing on the debate floor with the President of the United States, because Mitt Romney knew what Common Core was while he was running, and he didn't use it. I think he could have won the election if he'd stood up and thrown that back at the President and done it right. We didn't know about it during the election. If I'd known about it during the election, I'd been screaming loud and strong. But when did you find out about Common Core? When did you first hear about it and start to understand it? And just kind of give us a rundown of the walk that you've walked getting to where you're at in fighting Common Core.
Well, I'm kind of like you guys. I'm a Glenn Beck fan, and I actually heard about it during watching him. But we had a group here called Alabamians United for Excellence in Education, and one of their members is a teacher, and actually Uni Smith, who is Eagle Forum, and they started talking about it, and I meet with these people, being the legislative chair of the Rainy Day Patriots and Alabama Legislative Watchdogs, and we talk about the things that we hear coming out of Washington. So they're saying, well, we keep hearing this Common Core thing. So we started investigating it. We formed a task force, and everybody had a different piece of the puzzle that they were supposed to look at. And I do the money piece. I have a 30-minute speech on the Internet that's called Follow the Money. So the more we got into it, the more we found out, we're like, whoa, what's going on here? And this was 2 years ago. So every time we got a chance, we talked to the representative from Alabama that went to the Common Core, what we call the propaganda tour, where the governors sent their representatives. And he was telling us about it, and we're like, you're kidding, right? And he said, oh, no, it's great. It's wonderful. So that's kind of how we got into it. And once you figure out where it started, which was actually the Annenberg Challenge in Chicago, and it started before President Obama was elected, or was inaugurated. He had just been elected. And the people that wrote it, and they all connect to each other, Arne Duncan, Rahm Emanuel, Annenberg Foundation, Annenberg Challenge, David Coleman, Jason Zimba, and the charter school people who are funding it, Bill Gates Foundation, Walmart Foundation, the Broad Foundation. And you're wondering, what's going on here? And it all goes back to UNESCO, which both Bill Gates and the head of Pearson signed contracts with UNESCO 5 years ago for global education, and they chose the United States to begin with. And it's like you're being attacked. It's a three-pronged attack. So that's kind of the more we've been doing this for over 2 years now, and we've reached a point where we know what it is. We know where it began. We know it's end game. And now we try to convince people without wearing our tinfoil hats of exactly what they're trying to do to our children. And they make fun of us. We know that. The Tea Party has made fun of us. I've been in the Tea Party for 5 years in Rainy Day Patriots. We were one of the first 10 groups that started the Tea Party. And we had different focuses, but Common Core has been our focus for over 2 years now. So, and that's kind of where we are. I have PowerPoint presentations of how it began, where it's going, who the players are. I've given speeches all over Alabama, and if people are now beginning to wake up. But as soon as those assessments begin here in Alabama, we're behind people, other states for a couple of years now. We didn't have the money to implement Common Core when it first came out because we did not receive Race to the Top funds. But now that we are implementing, parents are beginning to see the implications with their kids not wanting to go to school and wanting to learn. It's now starting to show up, and we keep telling people September, when those assessments come in and those tests start, you'll see people marching in the streets like they are in New York. So it's moving all across the country, but that's how we started. We kept hearing the rumors, you know, Glenn Beck, and we just knew something was going on, so we started investigating.
Well, and that's so true. And I've been saying for years, the conservatives better start paying attention to the schools. Because we know, Dan and I do a show on Saturday. We'll have to have you on that one as well. Saturday symposium, we talk a lot about history. And history will tell you that if one side of politics wants to take over a nation, they have to start with the schools. They have to start with education. They have to start with the kids. And you know, you brought up something really important, and I'm glad that when you're doing your presentations, you go back to the creator. Because if you really want to know what something is all about, look at the person who created it. And when we look at the people who created Common Core, and we look at their mentality, and we look at where they would like to eventually go, we have an idea of where their goals are. I've always said, all somebody really needs to know about Common Core is that it was done in such secrecy and done with such fraud and bribery. When you've got something great, you lay it out on the plate and you say, hey, look at this. I've got this wonderful idea. It's great. But it wasn't done that way. The creators did it very secretly. They did it by bribery. They passed the legislature and the president's desk all together and went straight to the states and bribed the governors. Basically. Now, down here in Texas, they knew better. They knew they weren't going to get it past Texas, so they went a step lower and went down and bribed the school districts. But the nice thing about C-Scope, folks, and always remember this, the nice thing about C-Scope is where they'll tell you that we don't have a curriculum for Common Core, which is, yeah, right. But when they tell you that, you can tell them we did have a curriculum for C-Scope down here. And it did show exactly what was in it. And within 3 months of me finding out about Common Core and interviewing Orlene Coley on Blog Talk Radio, C-Scope fell, for the most part. It's still got some roots down here. We're fighting hard in Texas. They're trying to poke it every which way it can. But it's an insanity. Look at the creators, folks. Look at what they want. Look at what their end goals are. Because I'm going to tell you, what we see of Common Core right now is nothing. Nothing next to where it'll be in 10 years if they ever get the hooks of this all the way in. That's why we fight it. That's why we do this program. That's why we talk about Common Core every week. Dan, you're down there in Florida. I think I might be having better weather than you are today. It has been beautiful up here in Texas. How are you doing, Dan? I'm going to pass it to you to have some dialogue with Ann. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Scott, and thanks for the introduction. And Ann, it's a pleasure to meet you. And I do have one question. Is how I follow what's going on is I watch the bills as they go through, as they're introduced to Congress, and then they go on, to become a law. And Common Core was totally backdoored. It was never introduced to Congress. It was never voted on by Congress. And according to the Constitution, that makes it illegal.
Yeah.
So why aren't people attacking it from that aspect? If this bill was illegally passed and therefore, has no validity. And I have yet to hear anybody going at it from that aspect.
Well,
actually,
Dan, yep. We have here in Alabama, we have a gentleman who is Talladega County GOP who has gone through the contracts that Alabama had to sign, which was the Memorandum of Agreement, the State Longitudinal Data System contracts, and the FERPA being changed, and the Race to the Top contracts. And we actually have a quo warranto here that is challenging these. Of course, if you understand the quo warranto, it's going to take a while. But, we've done that because the governor and the superintendent of education did this to Alabama while the legislature was out of session. And the state school board, all but two, Stephanie Bell and Betty Peters, voted for it because, of course, they were not told the exact truth of what this is. So, and we even have further tentacles of charter schools, connections, and it goes everywhere. It's amazing what we know and what they don't know we know. So, but yeah, you're right. You can challenge it, but it's going to take a long time because you have to convince people that what you're talking about is truth and not fiction.
Yeah, I can understand that perspective. I'm seeing what – I have a friend of mine who's a special education teacher out in California. And he's on the verge of quitting because the special needs children are essentially being pushed aside because they have to meet the same criteria as everybody else, and they are not able to. And his hands are being tied as to what he can teach and what he can't. And it's really having a very bad adverse effect on special education. And this is where I have a soft spot because, you know, I've known this man for 20 years, and I know he's probably one of the best teachers I've ever met. And he's being driven out of the system because he doesn't agree with what Common Core stands for, what it's all about. And as far as I'm concerned, from what I've been seeing, is that it's little difference than Hitler Youth. And this is something that needs to be not only fought, but, you know, thrown out on a constitutional basis. Our governor over here in Florida, I'm sure you know, was bought out. And he's getting Common Core curriculum coming from Washington, which our president said is not happening. But what they did is they offered the state of Florida a bunch of computers and a lot of money. And on the computers is the curriculum. So what the president is telling us is invalid also. And they are going at this from a totally illegal aspect, point, and they are still keeping it quiet. So, no, you know, it's only, I'd still say less than 30% of the population knows what it means, what it's all about.
Right.
And they're still keeping this hidden until they get the damn thing installed, you know, completely.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And, you know, this is where we need to wake people up and say, listen, this is a disaster. I mean, and this is a train wreck right here, that's already happened, and if we don't stop it, you know, our children are going to be raised by a bunch of false information fed by a totalitarian government with one purpose, so that they can be controlled. And this is something we need to change.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, I have determined, and it's my opinion, that the end game is going to be globalism, and you won't be Americans, you'll be world citizens, because Bill Gates Foundation has spent, as far as we can track, and I have looked at every single Form 990 that they've had since 2007, and we've tracked $1.5 billion that he has spent giving money to every association he can across the country to promote, develop Common Core. And he said that he would spend $5 billion to see this instituted. And he's given money to people like the Tides Foundation, the Business Councils of America, which is the BCAs, are the main proponents in these states where they guarantee these workforce committees where this money is, the Common Core is going to teach our children how to be better workers. The Chambers of Commerce has received hundreds of millions of dollars. I know that Hillsborough County in Florida, which I spent some time down there before and in the last presidential election, and Hillsborough is a very, very important county in Florida to determine who will carry the state. That one county alone got $14 million, and the state of Florida got just astronomical amounts of Florida of money from the Bill Gates Foundation. They gave Pearson $178 million. the American Federation of Teachers that have received tens of millions of dollars today decided to stop the Gates funding because they didn't trust him anymore. That was in the news today. The NEA has already come out against Gates funding and Common Core. It goes forever and ever, and he has unlimited amounts of money. He gave Education Weekly, NPR, Arkansas Educational Testing Service, which is the biggest testing service in the nation, Center for American Progress money. It's amazing. The American Library Association, he buys computers and helps these libraries to put these books in that are aligned to Common Core. So we have to wonder, since he owns 50% of the charter schools in America, where is this going? So Diane Ravitch, who I know y'all all, you may or may not know her, she's a blogger that handles the Network for Public Education. Her comment about all this was, public education is a public responsibility, not a consumer good. Did they put Common Core out there so that the schools, public schools will fail, so that corporate education can come in and take over? And if that happens, those people who own the corporations direct the education. So, you know, I don't know where we're going. I do know that billions and billions of dollars have been spent for these people to take over the education of our children.
Exactly. And you know, I'm a simple person. I like to look at the basics. And you really hit the nose on the head. You know, when you start talking about that kind of money, just give me a fraction of it, and I can fix a school. You know, I taught junior high, and I'm a homeschool teacher. And I've said for decades, give me 30 students, 30 desks, and a blackboard, and it's a whiteboard today, but I can take a child from learning how to read all the way up through high school. And our answer, our solution in this country has always been to throw money at the schools. But the money that's being right now spent on this project, this huge project that doesn't even solve the problem at hand. They say the problem is when little Johnny moves from Washington to Texas, they want to make sure he's all on the same page. But, you know, and I worked for World Book Encyclopedia in the 90s, and we had some little handouts that we gave out, and one was the curriculum, first grade through 12th grade, and on one page we had the basic curriculum, and we used it in all 50 states, the basic curriculum of what your child would learn when they were in the fifth grade, what they would learn in the fourth grade. Children all over the country for decades has been learning their states and capitals in the fifth grade. They start pre-algebra and learn algebra in the ninth grade, generally geometry in the 10th grade. They generally learn in the fourth grade their own state history to a certain extent. We've had for a long, long time a common curriculum all across the United States. Just like Obamacare, and I relate it to Obamacare, Common Core is the Obamacare of our educational system.
Absolutely.
It is not designed to solve the problem that they state it solves. Same thing with Obamacare. They spent, what, $600 million on a website? For 40 million people that they decided were uninsured. I know my math pretty good, but I would think somebody that doesn't even know their math pretty good could figure that one out pretty easy. You couldn't give those 40 million people a lot of insurance just for the money that was spent on the website. So why don't the American people see that? I just really don't understand. But when we start, when we leave that basic and we start talking about the kind of money you're talking about being spent, that could be spent on good teachers, that could be spent on maybe some new school books, that could be spent definitely putting some nice air conditioning in some schools that don't have it. That, you want to talk about something that is hard on a kid, some of these schools where the air conditioning doesn't work too well, it's hard to study that way. I could think of, when we're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars, I think I could adequately, without a college education, I only went through 2 years of college, without a college education, come up with some really, really nifty ideas on how we could spend that money without using it to totally uproot the whole system and try something that's never worked before. But, folks, the reason I lay that all out is because I want the listeners to understand and listen to what Ann's saying. Because Common Core was not designed to solve the problems that they state it's designed to solve. It's not designed to do those things. It is designed to give control of the education of your students to somebody else besides your school teacher. Now, I can't even imagine as a school teacher. I taught in private school. I cannot even imagine as a school teacher trying to follow somebody else's curriculum. I was very fortunate. I worked in a small Christian school, and I sat down, and I had my school books provided for me. But I sat down, and I created my curriculum. And I had 15 students in a classroom, and I knew where they were all at. And you know, where I was going, another teacher might not have been based on those students. I knew at the beginning of the year that boy, my kids really had a real hard time with grammar, the bulk of them. And so I put my English book and my grammar book aside, and I pulled out a little folder I had of things on how to diagram sentences. And I spent 3 months teaching those children how to diagram sentences. And by the time I was done, all 15 of them could tell you all eight parts of speech. They could tell you what an interjection was. They could tell you what a conjunction was. They could tell you what a prepositional phrase was. They could tell you what the subject of the preposition was. And they understood it. And then I turned around and I picked up my grammar book that had been provided for me, and I started there, and before the end of the school year, I was done with it. Common Core won't let you do that, folks. Common Core will not let your teacher do that. I sat down, and I had a young boy. His mom had raised him. She was deaf. And I don't know if you've been around anybody that's a deaf parent or not. They have a real hard time sometimes explaining things to their children, and some of the ideas that are a little bit less concrete sometimes have a hard time. And this little guy just struggled. And I'd give him a test, and he'd get it halfway finished. But if I took him back into my office and I sat down and I asked him questions verbally, mm-hmm. he could repeat almost verbatim everything that I had said in class. He was an A student. He didn't test well. He didn't write well. Common Core, folks, is not going to give your teacher the ability to move around and do that. I had an A student sitting in my class that was doing F work. Common Core, folks, is taking that away from your teachers and providing them a curriculum that word by word, line by line, they have to follow. Now, that in itself, folks, should be enough to just scare the living daylights out of you, because your teacher, we hire teachers instead of putting children in front of the computer. I can stick a child in front of a computer and get them a whole lot more in their brain every day than I can putting them in front of a teacher and 30 desks with 30 students. The reason we hire teachers is because they've got passion, and they've got love, and they've got their own brains, and they can look at each individual student, and they can decide where the strengths are. They can decide where the weaknesses are. Common Core is taking that away from your kids, folks. Common Core is taking away the rights of the parent. That's why this is the Parental Sovereignty Radio Show, because when I found out what Common Core was, I knew it was a direct attack on the assault on the authority and the sovereignty of the parent to raise their child. You see, because Common Core wants to go in, folks, and they want to be able to tell your child that you're not raising them right. When you teach them about God and you teach them about morals, they want to be able to come in and say, well, your mom and dad might have taught you this about homosexuality, but it is wrong. They might have come in and taught you this about politics, but they are wrong. You know, it's attached in a lot of ways, folks. Common Core and Obamacare are attached at the hips, actually. If you've taken your child to the hospital or the doctor's office lately, you'll notice that the doctor just automatically gives you a piece of paper to take back to the school and says, take it back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the school doesn't need that. They don't need to know that. I'm telling you, folks, it's a really scary thing. And what Ann is saying, and what Ann is saying is important. When you start looking at the people that want to take that control, because there's two sides of this. There's the parents that are losing the control. There's the teachers that are losing the control. There's the school districts that are losing control. But who are they losing control to? They're losing control to a bunch of people that have never stepped foot in a classroom in their life. Never, ever stepped foot in a classroom in their life. When I was in the first grade, I was tutoring for an hour early in the morning kindergarten classrooms. When I was in junior high, I was teaching the kindergarten Sunday school on Wednesday night. I've taught all my life. I'm homeschooling now. And folks, let me tell you, it's something very special to teach a child. And when you take and you hand that task over to a bunch of people that have no clue, that have never stepped foot into a classroom, that have never sat down and tried to teach a child how to read or write or add two numbers or count, or maybe higher, algebra, geometry, history. When you take and you hand that over to them, then we know it's all about the money, folks. It is all about the money. And there's my rant, Ann. I tend to like to rant occasionally. This is something that's very passionate to me. I'm living in Texas right now, Ann, because of Common Core. My sister, who has never, ever really been politically active, when she found out about Common Core, turned into an activist. And she fought really, really hard to get us out of California. And we've come down here to Texas, and C-Scope is illegal here in Texas, although it's not stopped the schools from trying real hard. And we're fighting right now. Thomas Ratliff is trying every way he can to fight getting Common Core back into our schools one way or another. But I want to end on this, and then I'll hand it back to you, and then we'll hand it back to Dan. Jen had to go real quick. She'll be right back with us. But, you know, you said one more thing that I want to touch on, Ann, and that's important for this show because we do a lot of supporting candidates. And let me tell you, folks, you get out there and you look at your school board races. You look at the Board of Supervisors races. You look at the school board races. You look at those people, and you find the ones that are willing to fight Common Core. We've got a few here in Texas, and we're going to start interviewing them. But one real big one, you might have seen on Fox News, a young man by the name of Lawrence Jones III. And Lawrence Jones is a part of Project Veritas. He works with James O'Keefe with Project Veritas. He's 21 years old. He's going to college. He's holding up a full college schedule. He runs around talking all the time for good candidates, good solid candidates, and he has been fighting the Garland Independent School District this last few months. They got a new supervisor there in Garland, and he's decided to take a lot of the money and waste it, and he's doing a lot of things, and he really wants to get Common Core right back in. So, Lawrence, he's running for school board. 21 years old, young man, I'm going to tell you, and I encourage you to look him up on Facebook. I have to remind myself that he's only 21 years old because the maturity that he's got in the fight that he fights every day is just absolutely incredible. But, you know, you said a mouthful when you said we got to get in. We got to take our school boards back. We've also got to make sure that our parents know what are going on. Part of our problem right now, and I blame part of Common Core on America, is our parents are not paying attention to what's going on in the schools. When your child comes home, you ask them to see that homework. And not only that, you ask them what they've done in school, because the people that really like Common Core, they're doing some of this on a whiteboard in the classroom and erasing it. In fact, the students sometimes have whiteboards, and they work on it and they erase it so that there is no paper copy of what they're showing. You ask your child to come home and show you how they're doing their math. And if it looks really foreign to you, you might have a problem. And, boy, I'll tell you, that's it. And I'm going to pass it back to you, Ann, for comment on that. I ran it off a little bit. That's what I like to do. But this is important. Take it away, Ann.
You're a guy after my own heart. I tell people, I said, I have so much information and detail in my brain. It just all tries to come out at one time. But let me tell you this. In May, Bill Gates paid Pearson Foundation $3 million to start on a national curriculum. And that's important to understand because if you listen to President Obama's last State of the Union, he said he was going to put $75 billion in the next budget for educational reform. Now, we all know that if these states are offered $1 billion each just to use national curriculum, because, you know, all this, they're just standards. What's the big deal? You know, everybody has standards. We have to hold ourselves to standards. It's not curriculum. It's not textbook. Well, they're working on national curriculum. President Obama is going to give $75 billion, with a B, for education reform. The states are not going to turn this money down. So we will be fighting a national curriculum. David Coleman, who is one of the authors, five people wrote Common Core. David Coleman, Jason Zimba, Susan Pimentel, William McCallum, and Phil Darrow. They were paid hundreds of millions of dollars to write Common Core, and then they sold it to the governors. But David Coleman is now head of the college boards, who just changed the SAT test to lower the standard, took out the writing, and took away the penalty if you got a wrong answer. Because they know Common Core does not have rigorous standards and is not going to raise the level of consciousness and education in our country. It's going to be lowered. Jason Zimba made the comment that it's only geared for a two-year or workforce trade school, that for non-specific colleges. That means these big colleges, the engineering colleges, the medical colleges, the kids coming out of high school after Common Core are not going to be able to make it in those big colleges. That it is specifically for a good worker. Workers of the world, unite. That's where we're headed. And they got the money, and they have the educrats in their pockets. They are just eating it up, even here in Alabama, supposedly the most conservative state in the union. And we are fighting it all over this country. But it's a fight that we have to continue, and like you said, we have to elect people who are going to fight it with us. Our Ted Cruz of Alabama is Scott Beeson. And he has put in bill after bill after bill, and the BCA and the chamber has put in money after money after money to kill those bills. And that's what we're up against, is money. And they want to control our education and our children. So we have to get in the fight.
And we have to. Keep on. I'm going to pass it over to Jennifer Montrose. We got her back. Jennifer.
Well, you know, this is the scary part. I mean, we don't have people like Dr. Ben Carson like we once did, who, you know, we've got what's happening now is, you know, you look at what's on television. You look at what the kids are being taught. I mean, this propaganda, I mean, you know, Take for instance, you know, SpongeBob, one of my favorite examples. You know, don't look at the TV screen, don't look at the graphics, but just listen to the content of the message. You know, and that's what's happening. You know, Schoolhouse Rock is a thing of the past. You know, nowadays kids are getting in trouble for going to school wearing a T-shirt that has the flag on it, you know, the American flag. The people that seem to know more about the Constitution are those that have become naturalized citizens because they have to be taught it. You know, the whole idea of being educated on the Constitution, I mean, from what I understand with Common Core,
in the book review and all that stuff, you know, they're taking a lot of the facts about history out of it. You know, they're watering it down.
No. It's not water. It's, you know, my favorite two words, Jennifer, and you've heard me say them, the prevarication and obfuscation.
Right.
Lies. Prevarication and obfuscation. You know, politically correct people, we can't call them liars. So we've come up with these two new words, prevarication and obfuscation. That's what they're doing. They're lying.
Well, but here's the thing. You know, I think, you know, one of the best movies I've seen, I think it came out in 2008, The Boy in the Striped Pajamas. You know, and you get to see the Holocaust, the World War II, through the eyes of an 8-year-old, of a little kid, you know. These kids don't know any different. I mean, we as parents, you know, so many parents are just blindly trusting their educators, their teachers, to teach our children how to read and write. I mean, when's the last time you went into a school that taught cursive writing? You know, just the very basic things. They want to put it all on computer system to make it easy. I mean, and then, you know, then when I heard about the you know, the retina scan going on in Florida, where, you know, you want to be able to take your kids out on a school field trip and want to be able to make sure you know exactly where your kids are. And then you find out that, okay, so they scan the retina, and that stays with whoever has that information for the rest of that child's life.
That's right.
You know,
and that's not all they're doing.
You know, and so, I mean, this is scary. But so what do we do? What do parents, this is the question I have. I mean, I know what I would do, but what are we doing to inform the parents? Because it seems like so many people are tired of going to rallies. They're tired of going to these workshops. You know, we seem to be singing to the choir all the time. You know, and I'm always saying, one of my solutions is go to your PTO meeting as a parent and start having conversations with your friends, with your children's parents, and talk to them and ask them questions. Have you seen your child coming home with any homework that is questionable? Have you witnessed, you know, this is a nation that was founded upon, whether anybody wants to argue with me or not, I'll tell you, Christian principles. I mean, you know, when those people were praying that those ships in that small little church, they were praying that the Tea Party would fail, that they would go into the middle of the ocean. They were not praying to Allah. The people that were praying before they wrote the Constitution, they were not praying to Muhammad. But, you know, so when you look at the history of the making of America and what it took to get us where we are now, you know, but we have people that are paid to go out there and to get the rest of those of us that are blind and deaf and mute to stay that way. And there is a really wealthy core base that is intent on dumbing down America as we know it, and they're going to start with our children, so that by the time my child, who's 11, you know, is old enough to retire, you know, his children won't even know anything about the Mayflower. And it scares me to death. But, you know, we get in these meetings, we sing to the choir. You know, how do we get past just the rallies and stuff? How do we, you know, because there's been a couple of things that I've heard people say, you know, When you're asked to call your legislator, make sure that it's yours, not somebody else's, because they don't want to hear somebody from District 7 calling about District 8. But there's so many things I think that we as parents are looking for answers. How do we spot the problems? How do we take action to get rid of the problem and to find solutions? What's the alternative? People say, well, okay, so if Common Core is not the answer, what's the alternative? Or what's the solution to that? You know, it's all, you know, it, You know, well, and then people are being bought on the right and the left.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The money is the problem. But here's the thing, Jennifer. We have to wake them up. We can't give up. I was in D.C. last week, and Jake Tapper interviewed me, and he asked me, he said, what have you learned in 5 years from being in the Tea Party? And I said, never, never, never give up. And he said, oh, a little bit of Churchill. And I said, absolutely. We cannot give up. If we give up, we're the only people out there doing this. The Tea Party is what is standing between the socialist and the globalist and the American people until we get them enough to where the people wake up again. Once they get enough, and I keep saying, what is it going to take for people to understand? We're being boiled like frogs, just a little bit at a time. And if we don't stop it and wake up and say enough is enough, hopefully November will turn some of this around, because with Jolly winning in Florida today, is that not a good thing, Dan? Was that a good thing? It was?
What? What did you? Sorry.
Jolly won in Florida today. Is that right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, Jolly won.
Is that a good thing?
No, actually, it's not. I mean, well,
it's
because
not?
Jolly was mentored by Young. Who was a conservative, and that's great. And but he's old school, and I think he will, once the grassroots movement takes over, he will adapt into it very well.
Okay.
You know, but you know, as I said, I'm kind of a little upset at the Republican Party in general. Because they haven't stood up against Obama. And, you know, Young was part of that. You know, well, I never heard anything here in Florida. I'm in Pasco County, which is just north of Hillsborough. And
right.
We heard, you know, nothing that Young was fighting against what was going on. You know, the only Ted Cruz is about the only person we're hearing about that's taking a stance. And we need conservatives who are going to be vocal, who are going to get up there and stand by the convictions of their constituents. And my congressman won't even return my calls, won't send me a letter, because I fought against him. And I asked, you know, why aren't you out there fighting for our constitutional rights? I don't call myself a Tea Partier. I'm a Frederick Douglass
Republican. Oh, you know Kay Carl is...
Oh, yeah.
He's a rainy day patriot, and he's part of our rainy day patriots here in Alabama. We love him.
Oh, Carl is a great guy. Yeah, we had him on our show, and wonderful person. And you know, we are right now battling unfortunately, the Republican Party. Like, the Democratic Party has been bought out.
Yeah.
You know, sadly, the richest man in the world is throwing money everywhere and for people to be quiet. And I'm not sure if you all heard what happened today, but the new Surgeon General, I don't know if you heard about this one, the guy responsible, you know, the starting the... Obamacare is also a major supporter of anti-gun, anti-Second Amendment. So as you were saying earlier, you know, all this ties in together. And what we need to do is we need to have people who are more willing to, are more vocal, and also less worried about their wallets and more worried about our country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is why I wasn't thrilled about Jolly winning. I'm obviously happier than his Democratic opponent. You know, that's the last thing we would need is Hillsborough being taken over by the Democrats. This is the one part of the state that is totally red, and I'd like to, keep it that way. But the problem is we have the same issues that everybody else has. Bill Arrakis, my congressman, if you look at his voting record, it's 50-50. It kind of goes back and forth. But when it came down to, he used to like to pride himself as being a supporter of the military, and yet he votes a raise in for Congress and then a cut to our veterans.
Oh.
Now, how much are you for the military when you do something like that?
Right.
And this is a problem. You know, this is one of the many, many problems we're facing today. And Common Core, the way I look at it, is we got to hit it from a constitutional perspective, because, you know, this nation was built on the Constitution and around the Constitution. And I showed Scott last week an address to Congress, and you can, by looking in the Library of Congress, you can pick this up. But it was made by Benjamin Franklin to Congress in the summer of 1787, when they could get nowhere, and Franklin basically said, you know, get on your knees and start praying.
Right.
Pray for guidance. And once they did that, you know, the Constitution came together.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead.
I'm sorry. We here, our congressional delegation from Alabama votes basically 50-50, except for Mo Brooks, and he has an 80% rating. But they did do a bill to stop the Department of Education from funding any more Common Core. Problem is, there's no way on earth it's ever going to get to or through the Senate. And until we take the Senate, we're at a stalemate. We can do all we can in the House, but nothing's going to happen. We in Alabama have a super majority Republican state house for the first time in 136 years, but they're still voting 50-50 Democrat. What good does it do to have Republicans when they don't vote conservative? So
exactly.
That's what we're facing.
Well, the one thing that bothers me is that on the federal level, Republicans say that we can't get anything done because, you know, the Senate is controlled by the Democrats. And that really isn't true, because it is the House of Representatives that controls the purse strings. And all they had to do is say, okay, you pass this, we ain't going to fund it. And they could do a lot more than they've been doing.
That's right.
Simply by not giving the funding to these projects. I mean, if Well, sadly, Common Core is mostly supported by Bill Gates. And when you're talking about the richest man in the world, the guy's worth close to $1 trillion. It's kind of hard to stop. But what we need to do is, I would love to see passing an amendment that the federal government cannot offer money for any program. If a state comes and asks for it, yes, but not just to get a program going, because this is what's destroying our nation, is that it's, as you were saying earlier, it's the money that talks. And when you have several of the richest people in the world supporting something, there's a lot of talking in there. I mean, and, you know, it's the money that's ruling, and I also believe any congressman or senator ever accepting any type of money from an outside entity should be thrown out of Congress or Senate. I mean, and we need laws like that to be passed so that we can stop this nonsense. Right now, this nation is on a crash course to a communistic society. And, you know, we have removed, I don't know who reads my, you know, posts, but I've been saying that every step made by a dictatorship we have taken.
Yes.
And the first thing was removing religion from the country. Second thing is to disarm them. Third thing is to take over the education of the children so you can indoctrinate them. And we're doing all of those things. And this is where we have to educate people on the Constitution as well, because the only reason we have not totally failed as a nation is because the Constitution has pretty much slowed things down. But what our government is doing is attaching rider laws to our Bill of Rights. And eventually you put in enough riders, you lose the amendment. And this needs to be stopped as well. And, you know, people are not willing to stand up for their nation in Congress or in the Senate, and rather are standing up to Benjamin Franklin on that picture of that bill. You know, they're standing up for the almighty dollar. And that has to be stopped one way or another if we're ever going to stop programs like Common Core, because it's the money that's destroying us. You know, the people who are in the know have been fighting this. But the problem is, as you said earlier, we're being beaten out.
Yeah.
Simply because the money talks.
Yep.
Louder than we can. And the only thing I can think of is the people getting together and saying enough is enough. I mean, we need to educate everybody. And the one thing that the ultra-rich cannot fight against are our numbers. It's the only thing we have in our corner. You know, we have millions of people in this country. And if we all stand up against it, all the money in the world can't stop it.
Well, we just need to get the truth out there. That's the hard part, because the media constantly. Mm-hmm. I was watching Channel 12 here after the public hearing today, and what they said and what we heard, it couldn't have been further from the truth. You know, you're like, where did they get that from? It's just they report what they want to report, truth or not. And it's very hard to overcome money and media. But like I said, we can't give up. We can't turn our backs on our country. No matter what, we have to give, let's see, how did they say, our lives, our fortunes?
That's right.
That's what's going to happen.
That's right. Well, we got to keep on keeping on. And if you notice, Dan, we started out with a D-Rock country song, Keep On Keeping On. And we start the show every week with that. Because that's what this is about. And we've hit the top of the hour. I want to remind everybody this is Contending for Truth Radio, the Parental Sovereignty Radio Show. We got Ann Eubank on this evening. We're talking about Common Core, having a great conversation. And, you know, there's so many things that we have to do and so many things that we have to do right. And I've always said the first thing we've got to do is we got to wake the people up. I'm a firm believer that we had the Reagan years, and I loved the Reagan years. That was where I became inspired into a lifetime love of politics and current events and what was going on in our country. But things were really, really good for a long time, and I think the conservatives just kind of sat down on the couch, started watching TV, and then one day we woke up from a nap, and Barack Obama was talking about fundamental change. And we knew what he meant by fundamental change. He had to lie to the American people. They didn't quite get what he meant by fundamental change. They thought he was going to change how Washington, D.C. worked. He wasn't planning on changing how Washington, D.C. worked. He was planning on changing how America worked. And we woke up, but we still got a bunch of people out there that are they're asleep. They don't realize what kind of impact this is going to have. They don't realize that things happen slowly over time. They don't realize that in 20, 30 years from now, we could be in a really, really bad predicament. So I think the first thing we got to do is we got to wake up our neighbor. You mentioned K. Carl Smith and the Frederick Douglass Republicans. I'm a Frederick Douglass Republican, and I'm a firm believer in K. Carl. And one of the main reasons why I really like K. Carl's methodology is it requires you to get out and talk to the people that you don't normally talk to. K. Carl talks about sitting in the barbershop, sitting in the barber chair, getting your hair cut, and talking and explaining why you believe what you believe, not just telling them what you believe. We've got a bunch of candidates and had a bunch of candidates now for a couple of decades that like to lay out their issues and say what they believe. But, you know, it doesn't do any good to tell somebody what you believe. You've got to tell them why you believe it. Why am I conservative? I'm a conservative because I know that the federal government cannot micromanage. I know that when you give full power to a large entity, there's always waste, fraud, and abuse. I'm a Frederick Douglass Republican because I firmly believe that the more power you give to the federal government and the less the people have, the more that you push yourself back into slavery. And I believe we've got to use Frederick Douglass methodology, and we've got all kinds of different things that we've got to say to the guy next door that's not watching politics. He comes home from work at night. He turns on the television. What does he watch? He watches a sitcom. I think a good bulk of our country wouldn't know what Benghazi was if you said the word to them. Now, we do in the choir. The Democrats do in the choir. They know what Benghazi's all about. But does your average person know what actually happened there? Do they know what Common Core is? Are they paying attention to what's going on in their schools? I would say no, they're not. We know because of Neil Mammon, he's given us the statistics that two-thirds of the Christians in this country don't vote. And they don't realize that's one of the first things that they're going to go after when they get full control is the power of the pulpit. We know that they don't want people in the pulpit to be able to say homosexuality is immoral or other things that are such. We know that they want to step on our rights as a Christian. They want to step on our right to talk to the person next door. Our rights as Christians are really, really on the edge, on the precipice of being really, really hurt. We've got to wake up America. We've got to let them know exactly what's going on. The second part is we've got to really get in and we've got to... fight for our local elections. You know, we don't always pay attention to them. What we do is we get a ballot, and we know who the big guys are. We know who the guy running for president we want. We know the guy that's running for Senate. Sometimes we know who the guy our congressman is. But when we get down to the Board of Supervisors and the Agricultural Commission and the Railroad Commission and the public service people, we don't always know who those people are. We got to get in and pay attention because that's where the liberals have really slipped a lot of people in, into our school boards and so on and so forth. And then, man, 2014, folks, the big elections, too. We got to make sure we get people that are elected that are going to stand up for our rights and our liberties. You know, just because they've got an R after their name does not mean that they believe in the Constitution. Just because they've got an R after their name doesn't mean they necessarily understand we've already got too much legislation. I no longer am wanting to send people to Washington, D.C. as a congressman to write legislation. I want them to go to Washington, D.C. and destroy some legislation. We've got too much. We need to be doing that the same in our senators in the state houses. I'm right behind Connie Burton here going to the state house in Texas because I know when she gets up there, she's not going up there to write legislation. She's going up there because we already got too much legislation and it's gotten crazy. We need to get rid of some of it. We've got to make a front. And I want to beg our listeners. Get involved in what your school is doing. Find out who your school board meeting, your school board members are. Go to the school board meetings. Go to your school. Go to your school and you tell the principal you want to sit in the class for a little bit and you want to see what the teacher's teaching. You, when your child gets home, you ask them what happened in school today. I know it's not easy, boy. We've gotten to a point where we've got both parents are working, and you come home, and you're tired, and sometimes it's a little bit hectic when you come home. You know, the kids, they go crazy when you come home because they haven't seen you all day, and you're tired already, and sometimes you just want to sit down. But engage your kids and talk to them and ask them what's going on, because we do. We've got to keep on keeping on, and I believe we can win this fight. I'm a firm believer, and, you know, Dan, Jennifer know me too well. They know sometimes I'm a little bit overly optimistic, but I believe we can win this fight. But we can only win this fight if we do fight. We cannot win this fight by sitting on the couch and hoping somebody else does it. We got to wake up our neighbors. We got to wake up the people around you. Man, if you're standing in line at the grocery store and you're in a long line, find some way to engage conversation with the person standing in front of you. I know it's not easy. I know that I can talk to a post. I get that from my grandmother. But I know not everybody can easily stripe up a conversation. But, boy, just ask them a question. Boy, have you heard about this thing, Common Core, going on in the schools? It's crazy. You know, ask people. Talk to people. Engage, because we're going to win this. We're going to win this, but we've got to do it. We've got to do it hard. We've got to fight hard, and we got to keep going. With that, I'm going to pass it back to Jennifer for any other questions to Ann. Ann, I don't know how long you can stay with us tonight. We generally go 2 hours on the show, and you are more than welcome to just hang in with the conversation with us the rest of the evening. I don't know if you've got a time frame, you can let us know, and we won't have any hard feelings that way, but we'd love to have you stay the rest of the evening. But I'm going to pass it back to Jennifer. Jennifer, take it away.
Okay. Thank you, Scott. You know, I agree with Ann. We cannot give up. Ann knows me well. You know, I take hard challenges. I even take the ones that people say it's minority, majority district, and you can hang it up. I mean, she knows.
She said that.
She has said, you know, that you know, I'm for liberty, I'm for freedom, I'm for the Constitution, I'm for doing what's right. You know, and I know that there have been all across the United States, there are backroom deals being made every day in reference to school board races, you know, from the schoolhouse to the White House. We know that there were many people, we know that there have been, you know, many people that stayed home last year. We've got to have people that are willing to get beyond their television sets, to get off their couches, that are willing to fight. Otherwise, we're going to find ourselves scratching our heads, screaming, crying, standing in the middle of town square, wanting to know how did all this happen.
You know, somebody was telling me the other day, you know, it may sound like a conspiracy theorist to some, you know, but the question is, you know, we've got a town up here in Alabama, Mentone. They're wanting to put a windmill farm up there. You know, so what's the purpose of the windmill farm when you have no wind? Well, if you can put a windmill farm on property and then find out that it doesn't work, so then, you know, the government owns the property now, so now what do they do with it? They make a railroad. So what do you do with a railroad? Well, that's, you know, what happened in World War II. What was the biggest thing that happened with a railroad back then? Are we that far from it? You know, concentration camps may seem like a thing of the past. It may be a part of history. But I will tell you, what we are doing right now, we're getting closer and closer to having big government be in charge of us. Whatever happened to the small business entrepreneurship model? Whatever happened to kids, you know, and their dreams of wanting to become a fireman or, you know, be like daddy and be a plumber or be a doctor? You know, if we have Common Core standards implemented across the United States and we know that it's dumbing down education and we know that it's going to dumb down the students, where are we going to find the scientists, the people that are finding cures for cancer? Where are all of those young students? What are we going to do? Where are the young students that are supposed to be learning all this stuff? We see what happened in Canada. I mean, you know, so, I mean, there's so many things right now that we're dealing with that are, it's just scary. We have, and the children don't, you know, it's just, the children don't understand any of this stuff. It's up to us as parents to do our part, you know? And then we've got, you know, illegal immigrants coming in and demand, and I don't know how much of the illegal immigrants are demanding rights to become citizens. I think at the end of the day, they want to stay where they are so they can reap all their benefits under the table. That's just me. You know, but with that, I'll give Ann closing remarks. Anything specific that maybe you have not mentioned that you would like to mention? Any up-and-coming events that you want people to be looking out for on a national level that you're aware of, or anything within the state? Because this is archived, and we get to replay this over and over again. So we want to make sure that everybody gets an opportunity to hear what's necessary.
Rainy Day Patriots have decided that February, March, April, and May meetings are open candidate meetings. They come in and talk to whomever decides to attend that meeting that night so that we can get to know these candidates. And they can come all four times or one time or whatever. But and we've decided we don't endorse, but we have election teams that we encourage our members to join a team and get somebody elected, a conservative elected. And like I said, we're working on the three school boards. We're working on a Senate, actually a Tea Party candidate that is running in Calhoun County against the Senate pro tem who refused to bring Common Core to the floor. And we have, of course, a congressional candidate we all individually are supporting. And we have some good candidates running, but in order to choose the correct one, you have to get to know them. And that's why we opened our meetings. We don't even have a meeting. We just have the candidates come in and speak to us. I think if more groups would do that, so that you give your members enough time to understand, to ask the questions, to see them in different attitudes and moods. And, you know, a politician's a politician. They can all figure it out. But we've learned a lot in the 5 years, and we have evolved. When we started out with the rallies and the rah-rahs and let's get in the streets, that didn't work. We figured that out. Nobody paying attention to us. And if they paid attention, they didn't do anything about it. You never saw the Million Man March in Washington on TV. Then we went into the social media. In social media, we had some gains, but nothing like the Alabama Legislative Watchdog team that is part of Rainy Day Patriots. We have teams coming down to Montgomery every week during the session and sitting in the committee meetings and sitting in the galleries and learning the senators and the representatives, who they are. It doesn't matter if they're in your district or not. Learn who they are. Have them learn who you are. And that has made, this is the second year we've done it. And the fact that they know who we are now and what we're there for has made a big difference in other areas outside of Common Core. They just will not deal with Common Core. It's something that the money people don't want. And that's what I think we are going to have to do. We're going to have to go into the system to make a difference. And we see that. So our next step is the election teams. We're going to get our people elected. So if we have to evolve past that, we will do that. We will sit down and evaluate what we did right, what we did wrong. But we are not going away. The Tea Party is not going away. It is here to stay. And I think that's what people need to realize. This is not a fly-by-night flash in the pan. Conservatives have to get out and engage the system, or else we will be left behind. And that's that for our country, that's unacceptable. And that's
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. It is unacceptable. And, you know, it all goes back to the fight. It really does go all back to the fight. And we're going to continue fighting it on. You know, I know, Dan, you fight. You fight hard down there with what you've got to work with down there in Florida. And it hasn't been an easy fight, Common Core down there in Florida, because you got people that should be on your team that are playing against you. And that's been insane. So I'll pass it to you, Dan, for a little bit more dialogue.
Well, I agree with you. It's like we voted for certain candidates who had promised us one thing and delivered the entirely different thing. And it's the frustrating part is we're having difficulties finding people who are going to stand behind what they say, what they promise. Our governor promised that Common Core would never take place in the state several months ago. What do we have? Common Core. And we're battling it as much as we can. And then, you know, when I go out, one of the biggest things is, as Scott and Jennifer know, you know, I have stage 4 heart disease. I don't have much longer to live. And it could be very easy for me to turn my back on this. But I was born a patriot. I love this country more than anything. And that's why I'm fighting this fight today, not for myself, but for my grandchildren and their grandchildren afterwards. And when I hear people tell me, I don't have the time or, you know, all these excuses, I look at them and say, I'm dying, you know, and if I can do it, you can do it. You know, I could very easily turn my back to this whole thing and it's not going to affect me in the least. You know, and this is what, you know, we need to get out there and get people motivated and say, listen, we have to stand up. I've been trying to, in the last few weeks, is to get all these rallies that are planning to go to Washington and get them all together. And then to get a delegation to address Congress directly. And trying to get a day that Congress will listen to us. And, you know, confront them head on. Because I agree with you, the only way we're going to be able to solve this issue is by getting into the system. And one of the ways we can do that is by getting time in front of Congress and looking at them saying, you want that seat? You know, if you do, you got to start listening, because we the people are going to vote you out. And we're going to replace
you
with real...
It may happen this time. It may happen this time. I think people are fed up enough. I think some incumbent heads are going to roll, and it's going to shock them.
That's what they need, because, you know,
mm-hmm.
something, I'm all for the two-term limit, because right now they build their little empires, and they think that, you know, they're safe from, you know, being thrown out of office. Well, I want a few, you know, a few of them to find out the hard way that they're going to, that this is, that their days are over in that respect. We got to start getting rid of the rhinos and the elite, you know, in Congress who think that they run everything. And what they do is they intimidate junior congressmen. And they bring them in. And they say, okay, you have two choices. You can make a lot of money with us, or we'll run you right out of office. Well, we need to show them that we, the people, are going to run them out of office, and that they are not the leaders. We are. And that's what the Constitution says. You know, that's our right as citizens of this country, and we need to, that's why I'm a Frederick Douglass Republican with a constitutionalist attitude, you know, where I'm looking at it not only from his perspective, but also very much the Constitution. Because our salvation so far has relied on, has landed on the, on our Constitution. And what we need is senators and congressmen who will fight for the Constitution first. And because we, by removing these riders and things like that, if our Congress got up and said, hey, wait a minute, you guys never introduced Common Core to us. And here in the Constitution, it says that you must do that in order to pass legislation like this. We can stop this right away. So we need the Constitution on our side. We need people who are well-versed in it, who know what the Federalist Papers are and who have actually read them. And I also agree with Kay Carl 100%. When I do get out, unfortunately I can't get out as much as I want to, but when I do get out, if I'm in the line in the grocery store, both Jennifer and Scott will know I'm not exactly a shy person. I pick up conversations with everybody, and I spread the word. and I don't go from it from a Republican aspect or a, I go from it is this is what's happening. And this is what's happening to our country right now. And do you want to stand up and stop this? Then join the movement, because one of our biggest problems today is that we are so divided as a people. You know, we have the Democrats and the Republicans, and then you have the far left and the very far right, and people are not uniting. So I try to address it from the perspective of what's happening. And that, you know, Scott and I were talking that there should be a movement within the Democratic Party called the John F. Kennedy movement. Because Kennedy was, well, by today's standard, he would be considered a conservative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said one in his inaugural speech, he said, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. And this is the attitude we need to take back again. And we need to hold our leaders, you know, we need to hold them responsible for the things they've done. Benghazi, extortion 17, you know, Fast and Furious, Solyndra, IRS, and hold them accountable for what has happened. Instead of looking the other way. And that's what we need. We need, that's why I'm saying I wasn't thrilled about Jolly, because we had a grassroots candidate we were trying to get going. But unfortunately, I'm out of the district and I couldn't get involved enough other than making my post. If you read my post every day. Every day I list something. I bring up another conversation on, you know, Second Amendment, First Amendment, Common Core, whatever. It varies every day. And that's how I'm trying to make my, you know, add my two pieces into helping change this country, because you know, I know I'm limited, and God gave me these limitations for a reason. You know, and I'm not feeling sorry for myself or anything like that. But, you know, the whole thing is that there's no excuse for anyone not to get involved in this.
Right.
We all need to.
Yep.
And I don't care if you're dying. I don't care if you have one leg and one eye and one arm, you still can get involved. Well, I mean,
all right,
know.
Then.
I'll second that motion, man. I'll second that motion. And boy, what you say though is true, Dan. We all got to fight. You know, I'm kind of like you. You know, I'm 45 years old. If I live to be 90, I'm only halfway. But you know, I've lived a pretty good life already. If I died tomorrow, I could not complain. I've lived a great life. I've gotten to live in the Caribbean and work down there and teach those people down there. I've gotten to be in business for myself. I've gotten to get to the last 3 years friends that I've learned and gotten to know from Herman Cain and starting there, Blog Talk Radio, my years of preaching, teaching ladies Bible classes I do each week. All these things. If I died tomorrow, I would be all right. But let me tell you, I got three nieces. And every day, a day does not go by when I don't at some point think about what their life is going to be like when they're my age.
And, you know, as my nieces talk about having their own children and getting married someday, and the worries and the concerns of what kind of liberty they're going to have. When they go to put their kids in school, what are the schools going to be like? What's the justice system going to be like? I worry about these things, not for myself. If I had to go into a concentration camp tomorrow, I've had a good life, but I really worry about their life. And that's why we do what we do. That's why we do this every Friday, I mean every Tuesday. That's why Dan and I do what we do every Saturday. It's why I am politically active with candidates all over the country on many different levels. You know, we've talked to so many. Having conversation just not too long ago with Dave Souza, running for Board of Supervisors out in Little El Dorado County. Such an important race because he's such a good man. And El Dorado County needs him. The country needs him. And these many candidates that we help. It's why we do what we do. And, you know, we're not going to stop. We're going to keep on keeping on. We got 15 minutes left. I want to say a few things, and then I'll pass it back around one more time for any final closing remarks. One thing that I want to mention, I want to give Rush Limbaugh a huge shout-out for a moment. You know, Rush, if you haven't been paying attention, Rush has been writing these books, and I've got them in my hand right here. Thank you, Melissa Bohannon, who keeps sending these for her adopted nieces, my girls, my nieces. Melissa and Teresa and I have been friends for quite a while, and they love my girls, and she keeps sending these. She sent the first one here a few months back, right before we moved to Texas, Rush Revere and the Brave Pilgrims. And I just got the brand new one today. It's just been released today, and it came in the mail today. She pre-ordered it so that it would arrive the day that Rush released it, Rush Revere and the First Patriots. And I want to tell you, Dan, I would encourage you to get them. I want to tell you, they're great. They're kids' books. They're written. It's Rush Revere and his horse Liberty. Time travels back and forth through time, and he takes two little students with him, and they go back and they land on the deck of the Mayflower, and they go back, and then the first one they're there, and they watch and they interact with the characters. And the second one is going to be the period around the Boston Tea Party. Which works out really good because that's what we've been studying in homeschool is early American history, these two stories mainly up until now. But I want to encourage everybody, go to rushlimbaugh.com and order these books. I don't care if you've got kids or not. You will appreciate them. They're a great story. I was never really too big on sci-fi, but I don't know if anybody ever watched Quantum Leap. I liked Quantum Leap. I watched him leaping back and forth through time. And this is kind of Quantum Leap for history. And Rush Revere gets on his horse Liberty, and they rushing to history. And next thing you know it, they're sitting at a point in history, and they're watching what's going on. And they're just absolutely so well written. I cannot wait to see the next one he writes. I'm going to write Rush Limbaugh and ask him if he'll do one on some Texas history. We're studying the Alamo right now. It'd be great if they went to the Alamo. But I want to encourage everybody to do that. Also want to talk about some of our other shows here on Contending for Truth Radio. Of course, we've talked about Saturday Symposium. Dan and I get together each Saturday morning, and we talk about the politics of the day. We talk a lot of times to people that have been there and done that. I've had some great guests. And we talk a lot about history. We talk about that summer of 1787 when those men came together in that little room for 2 months and no air conditioning and sat down and worked it out and wrote our Constitution. And many other aspects of history we go to. And then on Friday, folks, the most important show that we've got here on Contending for Truth Radio, Ladies Bible Class. I've been teaching the Ladies Bible Class in Springville, California for 5 years, and when we got ready to move to Texas, was going to be the one thing that just really brought tears to my eyes as we left. I love those ladies dearly. But the technology of Blog Talk Radio allows me to continue to teach that class. So the ladies still gather around the table at Betty's home, and they have coffee and cinnamon rolls. However, I don't get any of the cinnamon rolls anymore. But I sit at my dining room table here, and on Blog Talk Radio, continue to teach that class while they sit and listen by computer in Springfield. Springville, California. Isn't technology wonderful? Well, we just started the story of Solomon. We've been wandering our way through the Old Testament history, and we've just left the story of King David. King David has died. He has passed on to his son Solomon, and we're going to finish this next Friday. We're going to be finishing Solomon's life. There's not a whole lot about Solomon in the Old Testament, but we're going to start the story of the last real long period of the Old Testament history, the divided kingdom. And we're going to watch what happens when Rehoboam does not listen to the wise counsel of the older men and let a little bit of freedom go to Israel. He's going to listen to the younger men that say tax them more and control them more. And he loses the top 10 tribes. And we go into a very dark period for the Old Testament history that will be starting. So join us 10:30 California time, 11:30 Mountain time, 12:30 Texas time, and 1:30 Florida time on Friday for Ladies Bible Class. Join us at 11, I believe I got it set at 11 o'clock, Dan, on Saturday morning, Texas time, 12 o'clock Florida time for Saturday Symposium. And then we've got a show coming up, folks, and we're still not going to let the cat out of the bag. It's going to be on Monday nights, and I'm going to tell you, it's going to be absolutely incredible. You are going to love it. It's in the works right now. I'm not sure whether we're going to open up a whole new network for that or if we're going to do it here on Contending for Truth Radio. But keep your Monday nights open for something very, very special coming up. And then, of course, we also want to throw out always a shout-out to the IRP6 and the A Just Cause Coast to Coast, which broadcast in the two-hour time block before us on Blog Talk Radio. They used to have our Friday or our Thursday block here on Contending for Truth Radio. They moved up. They've got their own network now, and I'm not quite sure how many times a week they're doing their show, but fighting wrongful convictions all over the country. I want to give them a great big shout-out to that. Also want to give a great big shout-out to my good friend Michael Smith here in Texas and Conservative Nation Radio. He's just started his Sunday show back up on Conservative Nation Radio. You can go to conservativenationradio.com and go check that out. He's got the Michael Berryman show on Sunday afternoons talking about politics. A good friend, my brother, and a hard fighter at this fight and Texas politics and everything. So with that, you know, we've had a great show tonight, guys. I appreciate it so much. It's been a while since we've actually focused totally on Common Core on one of our shows here. We talk about a lot about politics. We always talk about Common Core, but it's been a while since we've had a guest on just to specifically talk about Common Core. And it's an important fight. And Jennifer Montrose knows that I think Alabama rocks. You guys are fighting Common Core down there hard. If Alabama can't overturn Common Core, nobody can. That's what I know, because you guys are fighting it hard down there, and there's some craziness going on sometimes. I know. It gets a little bit discouraging sometimes, but you guys just keep on keeping on down there. So, Ann, I'm going to go ahead and give you a few moments for any of your closing remarks. And then, Ann, after you're done, Jennifer, if you'll just pick up and run with your closing remarks, and Dan Wilson down in Florida, if you'll just pick up and close with your closing remarks, and then when we get back up, we will close the show out. Ann, it's all yours.
Thank you. I want to thank all the homeschoolers. They are the savior of our country. Because of most homeschoolers are religious-based, and when I retired, I went back to college to finish my degree, and it was the homeschoolers who ran circles around a public school student. So I really want to appreciate the parents that take the time to do that, because they will save our country. I want to give the dates of the Rainy Day Patriot meetings. It's the third Thursday of every month at Hoover Tactical Firearms on Highway 31 in Hoover. Starts at 5:45. And our websites are rainydaypatriots.org and Alabama Legislative Watchdogs on Facebook. Go in, sign up, be our friends, follow us, and keep up with what we're doing. We have a bunch of different teams. We've got a convention, Article 5 convention team that's working on that. Our fearless leader, Zan Green, is really interested in seeing if that's a viable option to help us get out of the mire that we're in. We, of course, have our election teams. We have our Montgomery team. We have an Agenda 21 team. So just join us on our Facebook and on our web pages and keep up with us. And if you're anywhere around Alabama, come down and see us. And thank you for having me.
Jennifer, your turn.
Thank you, Ann, once again, for coming on the show tonight. You know, you've always been there. You know, and a lot of times, you know, not everybody's on the same, you know, same wavelength to some degree. But, you know, we've all been able to agree to disagree. But one thing I can tell you that we have been on the same page with is that Common Core needs to go. And, you know, everybody has their own thoughts about various things. But one thing I can tell you is saving our Constitution is definitely something that has to happen. At the rate that we're going now, you know, it's seriously falling down. We've got to do our part. For anyone that's here tonight that has heard anything they feel like has been informative and they want to share it with their neighbors, share it with their other, you know, their children's families, you know, we don't have to be condescending. I think there's some school teachers that is, you know, that are afraid of losing their jobs. There's a lot of bullying tactics going on with the school board system all across the United States. And some people just don't know. And they're blindly walking into things that they have no idea about. But it's up to us to be a part of the plan to educate. Because apparently our educators, some of our school teachers are even afraid to come out and talk because they're afraid of losing their livelihood. You know, so it's going to be up to us to try to make that difference. So with that, I'll pass it on around. Thanks again, Ann, for all that you're doing, for the time spent in Montgomery. I know it's hard, you know, and there are many, many people out there that have jobs, you know, and families. So anyway, with that, I'll pass it on. Thanks.
Okay. Well, thanks, Jennifer, and thank you very much. You're an inspiration to us, and it's people like you that keeps us keeping on. And I also like to send a hi to my friends out in Arizona who are also in the Article 5 fight. And, you know, this is the way we're going to win, is that how if we just keep on never stopping and continuing on regardless. And there's no excuse for, you know, everybody not to get involved. We need all your help because it's through our solidarity, whether you're blue or red or whatever. But think of, you know, the Constitution of the United States and bring that, you know, first and foremost. And don't, you know, the people who said it's out of date, you know, don't go along with it. It's more applicable today than it ever has been in the history of this nation. And it's the Constitution that will save us. And this is what we need to remember. And I would like to tell everybody to read in more to the Constitution. Learn more from our founding fathers. You know, Scott mentioned that book that Rush it just released. I heard about that today, too, and I thought, what a great idea. You know, this is how we're going to have to be able to teach our children. Parents need to start taking the reins and say that, you know, this is the way it really happened. And what your teachers are teaching is only partially true. But here's the truth, and this is, and make it fun, get them involved also, and start teaching them the truth. And with that, I'm going to pass it over to Scott. We're running out of time here. And Scott, it's all yours.
Well, I want to thank you, everybody. We had a great show tonight. We talked a lot about a lot of stuff. We had some good conversations about Common Core. One more time, I'm going to tell my listeners, please, if you've got kids, even if you don't have kids, you pay attention to what's going on in your schools. Folks, history bears out that they always start right there with the minds of the child so that they can mold them the way they want. And that's not the way it's supposed to work. The parent and the home is supposed to mold the minds. It worked out that way really, really well for many hundreds of years in our country, and they're trying to change that now. They're trying to nationalize our schools, and they're doing it without a vote. They're doing it without a vote in your state. They're doing it without a vote in Washington, D.C. They're doing it without giving the parents a chance to see what's going on and say something about it. And, man, I'm going to tell you, if they tried to do this 30 years ago, they would have been hung, I'm afraid. But right now, they're getting away with it because people are not awake. So wake up, America. As we continue to keep on keeping on, we're going to continue to do that. Again, one more time, Ann Eubank, thank you so much for coming on tonight. You were a great guest. You had a lot of great things to say. Thinking about the last comment you made there about homeschool parents. You know, back when I was teaching in a Christian school, a private Christian school, the statistics for this. The public schools had a graduation going to college rate of about 57%. 57% of kids going through the public school system were going off to college. And that was back in the 90s. I'm sure it's a little bit lower now. When you move up to the private sector and the private schools, we find out that about 89% of them were going off, those graduates were going off and starting college. And when you get into the homeschool sector, it bumped up to a 97 percentile of students that graduate from homeschool and move off to college. I have most of my friends are behind me in homeschooling my nieces. I have a few that dissent from different times, and they say that, you know, kids don't get any social. Well, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you about a five-year-old that's never been to public school in her life, and you take her to school, and she gets along with babies. She gets along with three-year-olds. She gets along with five-year-olds. She gets along with 10-year-olds. She gets along with the teenagers. In fact, her new boyfriend's about 14 years old now, she thinks. Gets along with the teenagers really, really well. She gets along with the adults. She gets along with the young adults. And she gets along with the senior saints. You can often find her running across the church and giving big hugs to people that are 60, 70, and 80 years old. She's the most social butterfly I've ever known and never stepped foot in a public school. So, to that one, folks. So I thank you, Ann, for your comments.
You're welcome.
My comments about homeschool.
You're welcome.
And this is Contending for Truth Radio. Of course, we always close out with D-Rock Country. Keep on keeping on. Join us again next week. Same time, same place. Don't forget Friday, 10:30 California time, 12:30 Texas time, 1:30 Florida time, when we study Ladies' Bible Class, when we study the Old Testament here on Contending for Truth Radio. That's the next time we will see you. And we want to thank everybody and have a nice evening. Take it away.
There will be days that just go wrong, make you wanna holler and shout and throw your hands up in the air, wondering what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And you think that things can get much worse in a second. Oh, everything just goes south. Keep on keeping on. Whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be. Darkness comes before the dawn.
take it one day at a time. God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down in time. Road ain't alone. Keep on keeping on. Some people will stand in your way. Before the dawn, take it one day at a time. With God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down inside. The road ain't alone. Keep on keeping on. Keeping on, whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn.